coming up.
New surveillance pictures just released last night. You see them are on your screen right now. Take a look at that. Very interesting stuff. That is Kimberly Kessler at a gas station the night Jolene Cummins, a local mother of three from Nassau County, disappeared.
For Volt Studios, I'm Reed Redmond.
And I'm Will Johnson. You're listening to The Daily Crime.
Last week, near the small town of Hayden, Alabama, hundreds of FedEx packages were found dumped out in the woods.
We're talking between 300 to 400 packages were found last week on private property about 40 miles outside of Birmingham.
And in Florida, a high-profile trial is just getting underway.
I'm feeling elated that our prayers have been answered, that we've waited a long 3 years, and it has been three competency hearings, and we are ready for justice to be served.
In Florida, a jury has been selected in the trial of Kimberly Kessler, accused of murdering her coworker, Jolene Cummins, in 2018. Cummins' body has never been found. Will, who was Jolene Cummins, and what do we know about her disappearance back in May of 2018?
Jolene Cummins was a 34-year-old mother of three. She was last seen on Mother's Day in 2018. Jolene worked at a hair salon, and the last time she was seen actually was at that hair salon on the Saturday before Mother's Day. And according to police, the last person who saw her was a coworker who everyone who worked at the salon knew as Jennifer Siebert or Seibert. Heather Crawford is the evening news anchor at First Coast News in Jacksonville, and she recalls when Jolene Cummins was first reported missing.
She was supposed to meet the next day on Mother's Day her ex-husband to pick up her three young kids. Mother's Day happened to be her birthday as well. She never showed up. The next day she was reported missing.
So again, this was back on Mother's Day in 2018. Last seen working at that Yulee hair salon, Tangles hair salon in Yulee, Florida. And Jennifer Siebert, her coworker, was actually arrested several days after Jolene Cummins was reported missing. Now, she was originally arrested, not connected to her disappearance, but connected to the fact that she was seen exiting Jolene Cummins' SUV on a surveillance video in a nearby Home Depot, not far away from the hair salon where they worked. Later on, and not long after that arrest, she was subsequently charged with Jolene Cummins' murder. As it turned out, and as we all learned from police press conferences and a lot of the information that came out about Jennifer Siebert, was that she had numerous aliases. And in fact, her name, as we know it now, is Kimberly Kessler. And it was just one of the many aliases that Kessler had used over the years. Again, here's Heather Crawford.
She's gone by dozens of names. The sheriff said that Kimberly Kessler used 18 different aliases. She lived in 33 cities since the 90s. So this is a woman who moved around a lot, went by lots of different names. And Jennifer Siebert, it turned out, was actually the name of a teenager who died in a car crash back in the 80s. And she was from the same county where Kimberly Kessler grew up. And so documents that have been released over the years by the state attorney's office show that detectives were told that Kessler would allegedly find names to use off of gravestones in cemeteries. So this is a woman with a very troubled past.
So, Will, this has turned into a complicated roller coaster of a legal case, not to downplay the very real tragedy at the heart of it, the death of this 34-year-old mother. Can you give us an overview of what all has happened since Kessler was arrested leading up to the most recent news this week?
Well, I can give you a general sense of what's happened in the weeks and months leading up to this jury selection and the trial getting underway. It's been delayed by hearings essentially over whether Kimberly Kessler has been mentally competent to stand trial. So in October of 2020, a judge ruled that she was competent to stand trial despite ongoing hunger strikes that, in fact, at one point caused her to lose more than 100 pounds while in jail. And her court hearings have been peppered with outbursts, suggesting an unstable mental state, according to a psychologist testifying in her defense. And we've heard her scream profanities at the judge and acting out from inside her cell. So there's been a lot of back and forth on this, on whether she was capable mentally stable enough to stand trial. A doctor speaking for the defense said in court at a hearing, quote, "In my professional opinion, she's incompetent to proceed because of her delusional disorder." And one of the things actually that Kimberly Kessler has tried repeatedly to bring up is that her public defender was basically incompetent, claiming that he's related to Jolene Cummings' mother. The judge in the case has found that claim baseless, and prosecutors have argued that she is more cunning than incompetent. The judge in this case, Circuit Judge James Daniel, though, has earlier this year decided that she is competent to stand trial and has ruled that although Kessler may be a psychopath, that's his word that he's used, she is competent to stand trial. So that's where we are today.
And as we mentioned at the top, the trial is scheduled to get underway. A jury was selected this week. But during this, there was another disturbance in court as jury selection was getting underway. What exactly happened?
Kimberly Kessler was wheeled into the courtroom in a restraint chair. She was in the courtroom for a period of about 40 seconds before she was removed after shouting once again claims about her defense team. The judge then addressed her via a remote video, and this is what he told her.
Ms. Kessler, if at any point in time you wish to participate in the proceedings, all you have to do is let one of the bailiffs know, and you will be brought back up. But your participation is conditioned on your being able to, or not disrupting these proceedings, like you have this morning and have done in the past.
So it's clear the judge is determined for this trial to take place. The jury has been selected, 8 women and 4 men, along with alternates. And if any of our listeners would like to hear more about the case and what we know about what happened to Jolene Cummings back in 2018, you can listen to our True Crime Chronicles podcast. And if you're able to scroll back, you'll find 2 episodes about Kimberly Kessler and Jolene Cummings, June 21st to 28th of 2021. Reed, you have a bizarre case to share with us, one that starts with a discovery in the woods in Alabama, right? Take us through it.
Yeah, this discovery was made in the woods near Hayden, Alabama, which is about a half hour, 30 miles north of Birmingham, and it looks like it has a population of just over 1,000. So we're talking about a small town, lots of wooded areas nearby. And last week, the day before Thanksgiving, someone spotted FedEx packages just sitting in a ravine, and not just a few packages, it was hundreds of FedEx packages that had apparently been dumped there.
So not just a few, we're talking hundreds of packages. So like it seems safe to assume that some people in the area had been missing deliveries.
Right, yeah, that definitely seems to be the case. The Blount County Sheriff's Office has been posting updates to Facebook, and their first post said, "To everyone in West Blount County missing packages from FedEx, I currently have a deputy on location where it appears 300 to 400 boxes of assorted sizes have been thrown off a ravine. An area manager from FedEx is en route to the scene. Hopefully we'll have some answers soon." And to answer your question further, there were some people commenting on Facebook saying, "Hey, I think maybe some of my stuff is in that pile of boxes." People saying they got FedEx notifications saying that their packages were dropped off, but then they looked at their security cameras and FedEx was never there. I think my favorite comment was from a guy who said, quote, "I'm thinking that I might have a package in that ditch. Mine isn't breakable or medication. Just knock the dirt off and send it on." The sheriff's office did give a couple other updates throughout the day, adding that FedEx did eventually show up on the scene, but they got there and realized they were going to need to bring another truck because there are so many packages. And then the last update from that Wednesday was that FedEx had to send multiple trucks, drivers from all over the South, and that they'd begin loading up the packages in the morning.
So does that mean they had to spend Thanksgiving morning digging boxes out of a ravine?
Yeah, I mean, kind of a bummer of a Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving morning, the sheriff's office posted to Facebook, quote, "FedEx is on the scene, let the work begin." And then there's some photos throughout the day showing trucks arriving into the woods, people loading them up with all these like gross, damp old boxes. And then the last post from that day is a photo of the crew that was out there. And the caption is, "These guys came from all over the country to work on Thanksgiving. Thanks for your hard work in clearing up this mess. Happy Thanksgiving." So they got the job done. The packages were cleaned up. But yeah, not a fun way to spend Thanksgiving.
All right. This is something that didn't happen. It wasn't an accident, right? So at what point do we learn more about how these packages ended up there?
Yeah, obviously somebody had to put them there, right? There were hundreds of packages. That's not like something that fell off of a truck or anything like that. And, you know, we're talking about thousands of dollars of property, so not really a small deal. Over the weekend, on the 29th, we heard from the sheriff's office again, and they said that they'd been working with FedEx security personnel and that the driver had been identified and questioned, presumably the driver who they're saying dumped the packages out there, but there wasn't any other information as to who the person might be or why exactly they would have left all those packages there.
Okay, so I'm not sure how many boxes fit on one FedEx truck, but I'm guessing this wasn't a one-time thing. Do we have any idea how long this was going on for?
That's a great question. Some people who are living in the area were commenting on these Facebook posts saying they've been missing packages for months. One person posted to say she tried to send her grandson a box full of stuff for Christmas last Christmas, so almost a year ago, and that it never showed. And she said she called FedEx a bunch of times, was told their GPS showed the delivery truck sitting on the side of the road. And so this person said she's convinced that this ravine is where her grandson's Christmas package ended up. That said, police haven't revealed the dates on these packages, and you know, deliveries obviously go missing for all kinds of reasons, so who knows? But as to your question, investigators don't believe this was a one-time event. Their latest update, as of when we're recording, is that investigators determined the driver dumped packages out there at least six different times. They said that those six different trips make FedEx a victim of at least six different theft of property cases. And then on top of that, they said they're looking at around 450 individual victims, you know, people who paid for these items and never got them. But because there are so many individual cases tied up in this, it sounds like it probably will take a little while for all of it to be sorted out. But, you know, it'll certainly be interesting to follow this and see what comes of it.
Reed, I doubt you can answer this. Do we have a motive?
Not that we've heard at this point. I mean, the only thing I can think of is somebody didn't want to actually go door to door and deliver all these packages, and they were hoping that the packages would never be found in this ravine. But, you know, hard to imagine how somebody would leave 400 packages out in the woods and assume they would never be traced back to them. They have all these kinds of different ways of tracking which packages were on which truck, things like that. So who knows?
All right, Reed, thanks for bringing us this story. And we do hope that all of your packages arrive at your doorstep this holiday season. And we also hope that you'll continue listening to The Daily Crime. We're here 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, and also check out our weekly show, True Crime Chronicles. New episodes every Monday.